These people, having taken the gold cure in Babylon, you see, for 500 years, God had warned his people through the prophets the inevitable result of turning to idols. And they transgressed until finally there was no remedy. And then God sent them into captivity in Babylon. Now, Babylon was the home and mother of idolatry. And the nation Israel got enough of idols in Babylon. And after they learned the lesson, God permitted them to return to the land. And as we've said, there were three separate deportations which returned to the land. Zerubbabel led the first. He's the prince. That's the political side. Then Ezra, he is the priest. And then here's Nehemiah the layman. The king, the priest, the prophet failed to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem and cleanse the temple. And God raised up a man that we designate a layman. And I think, frankly, it's an unfortunate distinction today. Talk about the clergy and the layman. One's half or the other. We need both, and we don't need that distinction. I started out in the ministry wearing a Prince Albert coat and a wing collar, and I had a derby hat. Oh, my friends, I was frightful looking. When I came out Sunday morning and looked over the pulpit, that white collar and that white shirt, it looked like a mule looking over a whitewash fence. It just wasn't pretty at all. And then one day, as a young preacher came to me, I'm no different than that man sitting down there in the pew. So I took off all that garb, and I wear what the other men wear. I don't wear my sideburns long, and I don't let my hair grow too long. And I'm not an extremist, but I dress like the layman dress. I was playing golf. Well, there were four of us playing, a foursome. And two of these men had invited a friend. And he was an officer in a church. And so he didn't know I was coming, apparently. They introduced him to me, and he said, "Oh, my, Donna McGee's here." He said, "Now we're going to have to watch our language." Well, you know what I did? I called his hand in a hurry. I said, "Now listen, brother, I'm no different than you are. Now, if you want to cuss, you cuss, if that's the way you do things. But let's understand one thing. Whether I'm here or you here or anybody's here, God hears. God hears your language. It doesn't make any difference whether I hear it or not." You see, that's a false distinction that's been made today. A layman, though, rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem, and he cleansed the temple. And I believe that even in this day, God can and will raise up a layman to do a great work and put his work on a sure foundation, and it needs rebuilding today. I'm looking actually to God raising up a young man who will not be a product of our seminaries. I haven't any objection to that, but I think that as Moody was not a product, and actually Billy Sunday was not, and certainly Billy Graham's not a product of a seminary. But these are men God raises up from time to time. I'm no prophet, but at least we need laymen like Nehemiah. Now, I want you to look at this loyal layman. And there are two things in this book that impress us. One is the little word "so." It occurs 32 times, and it denotes a man of action and few words. And I'm going to call attention to the little word when we come to it again and again and again. And he was that kind of a man. And the two familiar expressions was "so." That means he believed in watching and working. And then he believed in praying. Watch and pray, or work and pray. They are the two words that are very important to this man. Now, he had a good job in Susa, the capital of Persia. He had a government job. He was a cupbearer to the king, and he could have remained in Susa, a good, honest, and moral man. But he would never have been in the record of God or used of God. And I want you to notice some of the things that mark this man out as we now get acquainted with him. And I want to introduce you to Nehemiah, a loyal layman.